On Radio Jackie today, I'm joined by Paul Thomas, who is a resident of Heathside in Hinchley Wood. So first of all, tell us what's being proposed in Hinchley Wood.
So in Hinchley Wood, in a development called Heathside, which also incorporates Medina Avenue and Harefield, there's a proposal to build 56 new dwellings on what is currently greenbelt land and is currently grazed by horses and supports deer and other wildlife.
Why is it so important to local residents? And I'm guessing you're against the 56 new houses.
So I think it's important to say I'm not against new housing per se. The reason we feel it's important is that there are actually across the area, there's been 15 recent proposed developments on greenbelt land. And if they all went ahead, that would mean an additional 8,000 potential dwellings. And the importance of Greenbelt is that it exists for a reason. It exists to prevent what's called urban sprawl, to basically stop villages merging into each other and to also make sure that London doesn't just swallow everything up. So when you come down on the train from London towards Guildford, this piece of land is the first piece of green space you see as you enter the actual more rural part of the world. So Greenbelt is important. But also the area is already backed up with regard to traffic. And that poses safety issues, particularly in the particular estate we're on. There is a single access off the A309, which is quite a busy road. And we quite often have queues down to the Scilly Isles roundabout and also actually have near misses quite often at that entrance. So the concern about 56 new houses without changes to that infrastructure is that you're adding additional traffic to an already busy junction. You're increasing the risk of harm and danger of people coming up and down through the estate. We estimate probably over 100 cars from 56 dwellings. And that's significant because this is 170 dwellings on the estate at the moment. So it's a significant percentage increase in terms of the number of cars. But the biggest issue we've got is that this all feels to be the wrong way round, because the way it works is that developers make speculative applications, in principle quite often, what's called outline permissions. And so they say we'd like to build 56 houses. Here's some boxes we've ticked in terms of the things that planning require. But when you then go, OK, yeah, but where are the schools? Where are the doctors? What are the changes to the wider infrastructure? Is there going to be good enough water pressure? Is there going to be good enough power generation? That doesn't need to be answered at this stage, which strikes me as peculiar because I think many of us want to see additional housing in the area, if not for anything else, for our children to be able to stay in the area in affordable spaces. But unless we do the infrastructure first, and unless the local authority and government actually plan for that infrastructure, all you've got is a bit of whack-a-mole of people trying it on with applications. And this one in Heathside is just the latest example of that.
So you've mentioned that, obviously, it would affect green spaces and traffic and schools and infrastructure. What would you say is the one thing that you're most worried about?
Personally, I am most worried about the lack of a strategic plan. And this is important stuff in terms of working out where people live, how they get into town, where they shop, how they access doctors, how they access schools. In what other world would you, for example, build a new shop without working out what the supply chain was or where people were going to park? There's no other world where you would plan in this nature. So why on earth are local authorities allowing developers to say, we want to put this here without there being a requirement to resolve the kind of the wiring, the infrastructure in advance? My personal view is that there could be a much richer conversation for people to have, where if the community and the local authorities and the developers sat down together and said, we have a housing need, what needs to be true for this to be something that everybody's happy with? I think you'd find that residents would have a really positive contribution to that, because it would be things like, well, if we could improve the road capacity, is there going to be another school? If all those things are in place, actually, this might be a sensible thing to do. And how about this site of land? For example, the Marquis of Granby on the Scilly Isles has been derelict for over a year now. Why is that not being proposed to build on? And the reason we're here today, actually, is because we just want people to be aware and make their voice heard. The reason I got involved is not because I'm a particular campaigner. It's because I think it's wrong that this stuff kind of slips out quietly and it's on the residents to raise awareness. And that's why actually we're holding a community meeting next Wednesday, the 5th of August, 7 p.m, St. Christopher's Church Hall. All are welcome. And the big call to action for that is learn what's being proposed and then please make your voice heard. We've already had 160 comments on this application, one in support, 156 objecting. And yes, my personal view is that this actual plan should be objected to for the reasons I've stated. But the most important thing is that the community should be involved in the decision, should know what's going on and should be able to make their voice heard. So we're creating a forum full, all volunteers, all from fundraising, to book a church hall and to make sure that people can be informed of what's being proposed and then learn how to access what can sometimes be a tricky environment. The planning portal of Elm Bridge is not the slickest website in the world. So all we want to do really is, if people are aware and then go, do you know what, I've looked at all the facts and I think that I should support it, that's their decision. My personal view is that the more you look at the facts, the less likely you are to support the decision, because it's back to front, it's cart before the horse.
Yeah, well, some people would argue that new housing is desperately needed. How do you respond to that?
I do not disagree, as I said, but it should start with an infrastructure plan and a coordinated strategic plan from the authorities, which then leads to sensible proposals for development. What shouldn't happen is for developers to take pot shots at opportunities because greenbelt land is being viewed as greybelt, which is a subjective point of view. And the developers, by the way, that I feel for them, because they're putting in proposals. In many cases, they're outlined because that's the right way to do it. And an outline proposal means that it's 56 houses and we'll work out the finer detail later. Quite often, if things are approved, the developers are then required to commit to investments in infrastructure or to make specific amendments to their proposal. So if you think of it from a commercial point of view, the current system doesn't work for anybody, because the developers has like an uncapped potential amount of cost and time for them to get the development done. The residents don't quite know what's going to be built, and the local authority is just sat there kind of going, well, the government have told us we need to allow you to build, and by the way, we haven't got any budget for infrastructure, so you guys crack on. So if, and what should happen in my view, is there should be a local plan that residents, developers, local authority are all involved in, where everything is costed out and planned properly, and then we can have a sensible conversation. And I, for one, if someone was saying, we're about to invest in a new school, we're about to make this change, blah, 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 and across four sites in the area, we're therefore going to be able to support 2,000 new homes, and one of the proposed sites for new homes is quite close to you, I'd be having a very different conversation with you now. It might be more around the edges of completely understand it. We think they've covered 90% of what needs to be done. Can we maybe widen the access? But we're put in a position where that's not the situation. The situation is 56 houses, green belt, single point of access, no infrastructure committed to. As I said before, if you ran a retail chain, you wouldn't agree to build a shop without knowing how people are going to park and how the stock's going to get there. So why on earth do we build housing that way?
And have you spoken to any other residents? What's the feel? Obviously, you've said you've had one in support and 156 objections. What's the kind of vibe? And do you feel that a lot of people maybe don't even know that this is happening?
100%. So we've been leafleting actually on the local parade on a Saturday morning. And the common responses are, yes, I know about it, when you ask them about it. And then actually, oh no, I don't know about that one, because there have been many applications in the area recently. So they think they know about this one, but they don't. When you then explain to them what it is, they don't actually generally have good knowledge of what's being proposed. So they very much welcome being directed to the information where they can find out more. In some cases, they literally go, where's Heathside? Which, even though they live very close to it, because we're tucked away, they don't know where it is. And then I think it's fair to say that in general, most people take a leaflet and go, I'll absolutely go off and pop something into the planning portal. I don't think this is right. Yes, I've encountered a wonderful lady a week or two ago who said, I'm sorry, but I just think we need more housing in the area. I said, OK, completely respect it. It might be worth having a little look at the detail, but I completely respect your view. We all agree we need more housing, just not in this manner. Just not in the way that this has been gone about. And I think the other point on awareness is that the span of, I think, sort of mandatory information that needs to be delivered by developers is actually quite narrow. So, for example, I live at the bottom of the road that is proposed to be developed. I did not receive a standard letter. Yeah, I think maybe 10 houses down either side did. But all of the additional traffic, all of the impact on infrastructure, all of the construction work is going to go right past my house. So why am I not informed? So the awareness falls too much on residents to find out about. And by the way, if I wasn't connected to someone in the community who keeps a close eye on the planning portal, we would not be as well armed as we are in terms of knowing this. It's very easy for this stuff to go on the portal. And if you're not organised and aware, it can just happen to you, because the balance of raising awareness falls too much on the relevant residents, not enough on the developers and the local authority.
Why do you think you didn't receive the letter and you weren't made aware? Is it because they're hoping that then you're not going to object?
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just think that the minimum information that you need to do to tick that box is just too narrow. And I think, again, it points to the narrow view of planning, right? It's kind of like there are 56 houses planned on a piece of land behind number 70 Heathside. There are some people who live very close to that, so they need to know. But that's a very narrow view. My view is that if we're going to increase the amount of traffic to the Scilly Isles, if we're going to increase the amount of traffic coming down it, if we're potentially going to have infrastructure like on water and power that impacts the whole of the estate, it's a really narrow view to think it's okay just to inform those that are nearby. And so we're back to that whole point that the whole process is too narrow. It thinks it's kind of an abdication of responsibility, in my view, by the authorities. And it's a reactive, let's let people make speculative applications and then we'll deal with it later, rather than if we are going to build, which we all agree we should, these are the things that need to be in place. And only then should people actually put forward planning applications.
And you mentioned this isn't an isolated case. Are you seeing more developments being proposed on green spaces across your area?
Yep. So we partner with other organisations, for example, in Claygate and Longditton. There was recently a proposal for the Rosehill Nursery site off of the A309, which was actually refused at committee. But from a map, there's a really handy map, which we'll go through on Wednesday, actually. But that shows about 15 individual proposed developments. And they total, if they're all to go ahead, to about 8,000 potential dwellings across the wider area. So everything within sort of 5 miles of the centre of where we are.
And have you had any discussions with the developer or the council, and have they listened to your concerns?
So it's really interesting, actually. So no, haven't spoken to the developer. There's not actually a natural forum to do that. So the developer has a record of having done some community engagement, but this was done, I wasn't aware of it at that time. I don't think many people were. And so the soundings that were taken, there wasn't an opportunity to have a discussion. And the council, it's not appropriate to have a discussion at this stage. The way their process works is that there's some information. We now welcome people to put their comments, support, objections on the website. I think we will get, as a group, if this goes to committee, which it should do, but it's not guaranteed, I think one of us will get 3 minutes to engage with the council. And whilst we've made our local politicians aware, they're in a difficult position because they quite rightly cannot go into planning meetings predisposed to a particular decision. So I think a lot of people think, well, you can lobby your councillor and your councillor can represent. No, they have to go into the planning committee and make up their mind on what the information is in the room. So again, all we're trying to do with councillors actually is give them the information.
What's the campaign hoping to achieve over the next coming weeks, would you say?
So the most important thing is for us to get as many people to come to our meeting next Wednesday as possible. We have a capacity of 100. We'd like to be having to stand up round the back ourselves to welcome our guests. And that should lead to further expressions of opinion. So as I said, we've already got 160 expressions of opinion. We'd love to get to around about 1,000 by the time this thing comes to committee, which is in line with what Rosehill Nurseries Longditton got. And committee date is expected to be October.
OK, I was going to say, what's the timeline? How long do people have to have their final say?
So the currently comments are open until the 7th of August, which is next Friday, which is why the meeting's next Wednesday, to give people a final kind of reminder and reason to participate. I won't bore you with the complexities, but there's a likelihood that there will be other opportunities to keep submitting information, because the developer will probably have to make some new submissions and then we get a chance to comment on that. But two things to take away from today. If you want to express your opinion, please do so on the website by the 7th of August. And if you'd like to learn more to be able to express your opinion really well, come to our meeting on the 5th of August, St Christopher's Church Hall, Claygate Lane, 7 p.m.
And obviously, because this development is happening so close to where you live, would you say there's more of a personal aspect to it, whereas you personally just don't want that development right there? And if so, where else would you propose? If it was further away, would you be happy for it to go ahead?
If you look in the mirror, you always have to ask yourself, am I a NIMBY? And I genuinely don't think, for me, actually, I live a reasonable way away from the proposed site. So the direct impact to me personally would be during the build phase and then the knock-on impacts I've discussed. I just think that the case has not been made for why this is the right plan, the right area, the right number of houses with the right infrastructure. I'm a logical person as well as an emotional person, and that logical part of my brain hasn't been engaged because the process doesn't enable the local authority and developers to make a logical case. Do I want my sons, who are both about to finish university, to have somewhere that they could choose to buy affordably or rent affordably in the area? Of course I do. Might that site be the right site with the right infrastructure? Possibly. But I don't have any of that information to make that decision. And so all we can do at this stage is raise that and push back against it.
Yeah. And what about wildlife or environmental benefits? Would those be lost?
I think there's some good assessments that go on around that. I mean, for sure, you know, there are deer, there are bats, there are newts, and there are surveys that are available that show the presence of these animals on this particular piece of space. I think the big thing with Greenbelt is that once it's gone, it's gone. And as I said, this is the first piece of Greenbelt land with that wildlife as you leave the world of kind of Surbiton, Hinchley Wood and go out towards Guildford. And the danger of only 56 houses on a relatively small amount is, hang on, but then it'll be another and another. And before you know it, the Greenbelt has disappeared. And once the Greenbelt's gone, you can't get it back, right? These are very mature pieces of green space with biodiversity that is rich. And actually, the developer's own biodiversity calculation in this case shows a net deficit rather than a net gain in biodiversity from the proposal. So there's an admission that this will affect the biodiversity in the area. But for me, when it's gone, it's gone. And back to my original point, if a very solid case was saying this is regrettable, but as part of a coordinated plan, this is the least worst option for us to be able to build the best amount of houses and it's all supported by infrastructure, I probably wouldn't be here today raising awareness in the way I am. I would be sat there going, that's a logical plan. I think I agree with it, but that's not where we are. And we shouldn't rush into selling the family silver or losing the green belt without it being clear and broadly thought through why we're doing it.
And I'm just curious if you've spoken to your sons about this and their thoughts, because it's been in the news recently that nearly 50% of 25-year-olds are still living at home with their parents because of cost of living and they can't afford to move out and buy. And for example, your sons could be able to move into this development and live a solo life, independent life. And I'm just curious how they feel about their dad and their community objecting that potential opportunity for them.
I think they understand that they're very privileged to have grown up in such a wonderful area. The great thing about Hinchley Wood is it's close to London and it's also very green. I think they're aware, they're becoming increasingly aware of the value of money and how hard it is to get onto the housing ladder. I think this particular development, in the nature that it is, they would probably see as out of their reach, because even the affordable housing is likely not to be affordable to first jobbers or second jobbers out of university. But I mean, in short, yes, they're supportive and they're putting their own views forward. And I think there's an intergenerational sort of support for not making tactical decisions on what are strategic issues and for not losing wildlife and green space without thinking really hard about whether there's a better way to deliver the housing provision.
And final question I have for you. If you could send one message to the planning committee before they make a decision, what would it be?
Oh, please just listen to the opinions of the community. I think the committee is limited in scope, so all we can ask them to do is to listen and to assess the balance of what's called benefits and harms, and we think there are some clear harms in this application. I think if I was talking to the wider planning community, it would be do better. Why are we not looking at an integrated local plan, of which this is one part, rather than a speculative individual application or set of applications outside of any infrastructure plan? Do better on infrastructure.
And do you want to just remind us once again, you've got that meeting next Wednesday. Give us the time, location, all the details so people listening can come along if they
fancy. If you'd like to come and learn more or to support us, we will be at St Christopher's Church Hall in Hinchley Wood on Claygate Lane. That's on Wednesday the 5th of August at 7 p.m. There will probably be about 30 minutes of information and then plenty of time for Q&A and for the community to catch up with each other and understand what's being proposed.